John 17. This is what I got as we were worshiping the Lord. Starting at 22, I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. I told Brad I'm going to get all verklempt. And that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. So if you've been around for Advent, oh, this is so good. you've heard some rich teaching. I don't know about you this season, but it's been a really rich Advent with the messages that we've had. Floyd shared about the hope of salvation, this gospel message on the day of baptism. Marianne brought a compelling message on peace, still resounding in me, like it was compelling. A peace that comes in like a flood. And last week, Rob shared and talked about the supernatural workings of joy. Powerful message that joy is a supernatural work of the Lord. And so I've been really challenged and encouraged by those messages. I hope you have been too, to really mull it over and continue to go back to the website, listen to it, and ponder on these things. This morning, we're focusing on love. This is the final Advent. Well, tonight will be the lighting of the Christ candle, but today is kind of like the culmination of all of our weeks leading up to this day. It's love. Love is central to the whole message of Advent. The whole gospel message comes to the point with love. It's simple. Simple phrase, love came down. So simple. Yet it's so profound and complex. It's wide and long and high and deep, and it surpasses all knowledge, this love of the Lord. So I'll be sharing more about Devo. I'm going to watch the time really carefully. And I want you to, as I share this devotional, ponder the words of love. Ponder the words and the thoughts of love as we move into family gathering. Some of you may have that already. Some of you, the Davises, are having it here at church. it's good to see you, Joey and Andrea. And so I want you to ponder love. The word love, the action love, and all that the Lord has for you. Let's pray together. Yeah, Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the extravagant gift. The best love gift was you, Jesus, being given by God for our sins, atoning us and saving us. The best gift. And so we thank you that you reveal love of the Father to us as you live in us. So Holy Spirit, reveal even more greater ways the depth and the knowledge and the fullness of your love. Amen. So as I was reflecting this morning, I want you to think about love. What does it mean to you? When you hear the word love, what does it bring up in your mind and heart? Think about love. What does it bring up to you in your mind? Is it hard to love? There's some nods. Is it easy to love? Yeah, there's some nods. What happens when we've been hurt in the name of love? Can we still love? Or do we get a pass card? Yeah, you don't have to love because you've been hurt there. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? Some of you know that song. What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? These are the lyrics of the song released by Tina Turner in 1984. Some of you may remember her singing it. I sure do. I was in grade 11. I really liked Tina Turner. And if you know me, that probably says a whole lot about my love of divas. This song was a hit. It was a hit for about 3 weeks on the Billboard. And ended at the year at number 2. I did a little back study on this song. And a lot of people were offered this song to sing. It went through a whole lot of hands before it landed on Tina Turner's lap, who sang it, and voila, it was her first hit single since the early 70s. This was sung by a 44-year-old woman who encountered her share of lack of love. Her father was abusive toward her mother. Her mother really didn't want her. It was said at the... they had a tumultuous relationship. She was in and out of relatives' homes. And she married a man who abused her for many years. She got divorced later. And she talks about how she rose above it. She was a Baptist and she became a Buddhist. And so it's an interesting story, Tina's story. But she says this, "I don't have anybody... really no foundation in life, so I had to make my own way. Always from the start, I had to go out into the world and become strong to discover my mission in life." That's Tina's words. Interesting, it's a lot about me. She had encountered all of these things. She had to make something of her life. She had to rise above her situation. She looked inward and turned to be self. It was like she talks a lot about being this powerful goddess female. And really is, she walked in that in her career. So why do I bring up this illustration? You might think, why do you bring that up, Tina Turner? Well, because we all have a heart. It beats. We all have emotions within us. We all have a need to be loved. And we all need to love. This is a fundamental human trait in all of us. And we all have deficits in love and can be hurt by one another and hurt by love. If we love hard, we may hurt hard. That's one saying. And in the end, we're still called to love even if we don't feel like it. Love turns out to be a really big deal. Love is a big deal. So love is central to the whole book of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, God is revealing his love to mankind. We can think of a love chapter in the book, but really we see love weaved in and out of Scripture from the beginning right to the end. Through creation, through his care for the people of Israel, even when Israel turns its back over and over again, God is opening the door for love. He's always redeeming them because he loves them. Through the promises of a Savior and then sending his son Jesus to come and atone for all sin once and for all is love. And throughout the working of making disciples of all nations, we are called to bear the image of Christ in love and to love. Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. Love God, love others. Sounds pretty simple, like elementary, Watson. It sounds simple, right? But when I said, is it easy to love? People said, yes. Is it hard to love? Yes. Love. But Lord, you don't understand what the person said about me. Love. But Lord, that person is so difficult to love. It's always about them. What about me? Love. But Lord, I've been hurt before. I can't trust anyone. Love. But Lord, that person is so mean and hurtful. Love. But Lord, they're not giving me what I need. Love. But Lord, they're so different than me. Love. But Lord, I just can't do it. Love. But Lord, I can't trust you because if I get it wrong, you'll just punish me. Love. But Lord, love. But, what's your but? If we're honest, we all have a but somewhere, with somebody, even with ourselves when it comes to love. Let's sit quiet for a moment and let's ask Jesus, do I have any buts that stop me from loving you and loving others? And maybe even loving ourselves. Jesus, I ask that you would reveal to us the buts in our life that stop us from loving like you did. In our own strength, we cannot love. We can be good people. We can try to love in our own strength, and yet we cannot fully love to the extent that we're called to without the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. I think love is just as much as joy is supernatural. Love is supernatural. It's a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in us, revealing Jesus, who reveals the love of the Father to us. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit who lives in you. So we can have a whole list of buts. I have some buts that I'm working out. And some buts that you think you've worked out already. This is the work of sanctification where you've worked out some of those buts already. And then all of a sudden, it comes back. It comes back and you're like, wait a minute. I dealt with that. I think of, I worked in the Ministry of Living Waters and we went through healing ministry and weeks of of teaching, and even as a teacher, it began when it came to certain topics, I'd be like, wait a minute. I dealt with that like 2 years ago in Living Waters when I was so-and-so, and all of a sudden it comes up again because the Lord is revealing more and more of our human heart. When it comes down to it, irregardless, God's children, as God's children, we are commanded to love. It's a commandment. And what I'm learning from my daughter is to be obedient. She always says, I'm doing this because I'm obedient to Jesus. She got baptized because she said, Jesus told me to, I'm going to be obedient. So we obey. We obey and we love. Even when it's difficult, difficult places of love. Here it says we can cry out to Jesus to help us love through the work of the Holy Spirit. Since Jesus' perfect love will cast out all fear, we can cry out to him and ask him to help us love even in the hard places. And this is good news. Very good news. Ephesians 3:14-21. And I'll just read this, and I've inserted different things about love. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. Every one of us in the same field, God created us. This means we're all created by the same Father and formed in purpose to love. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, our Father who is love, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, in your inner being. This means he will empower you to do everything he asks. That's a pretty amazing thing. He will empower you to do everything that he asks you to do, including love. That can be a relief to us, in a sense, if we have a yoke of having to do it all and do it perfectly. He says, no, I will empower you to love. I know you can't do it on your own. Even to know his love, he will empower us to know his love so that you can love him and love others, and in doing so, others will see that God is love. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through Jesus. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, I love that. If Christ dwells in your heart through faith, then you are rooted and established in his love, firmly rooted. You know, you want your roots to go down deep as you abide in him, and they become strong in the soil. This is good rooting. So that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I pondered that and I realized it's not just us alone. Here it says, together with all the Lord's holy people. It doesn't say you may have power, Kenny, just you, to grasp that. It says no, together with all God's holy people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's holy people. You're God's holy people. And we're called into community and family together in this place. It's not just us alone. It's not me alone. It's not just Esther alone doing our own thing, feeling the love of the Lord. No, we're called together with each other, all the Lord's holy people, where we will have power to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, which is the fullness of God. through Christ living in us corporately together. It's an interesting picture if we can wrap our brain around that sense of community and family, and all of us, there's a purpose in this place. This Advent season, I've been crying out to Jesus for each promise. Each time we've had a message, I've been crying out to the Lord. Okay, I want more hope. Oh, hope, let hope dwell in me, Jesus. It's kind of like I just want the Lord supernaturally to do a deeper work in me. That's my heart. And for peace, to live in peace. And after the message, I've just been saying, Lord, I need to dwell in this place of peace. Would you come and do that work of peace in me? Joy. Jesus, I've been saying that for months. If you're in our elders' meetings or my meetings with Brad, I'm like, what do you want prayer for? I want prayer for the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I don't know the picture last week when Rob was standing there and we were far apart, joy, endurance, and I think it was perseverance. And he put us all together. Joy had to be central. Joy of the Lord is our strength. It had to be central to everything that we walk in. But love is the foundation of it all. It's the foundation. It's under our feet. It's over our head. It's everywhere that we're called to live and dwell in. And so this week I was doing a lot of last minute errands, and my dishwasher bit the dust, and I have a love-hate relationship with dishwashers, and Michelle too. And so trying to figure that out, and I felt very agitated this week. And I was like, well, love, supernatural, love, you know, joy, supernatural, give it to me, Lord. And I was praying and crying out for joy, and yet I felt very agitated and so unloving. I was starting to get a little snippety and snappity, and it wasn't good. Some of the situations I was facing began to weigh heavily. That's what happens. Life happens. And you begin to, the weight of it all starts to happen. I don't know if it's a job for you or relationships, or sometimes it just starts weighing heavily on us. And I began to wrestle with the buts in my life. Some of the buts started to come out. And I stopped what I was doing. I remember it was a couple of days ago, and I was in the car, and I was feeling like, argh. And I just felt like the Lord say, stop the car. Stop the car. And I realized what I was doing. I realized that there was something that the Lord wanted to touch in me, and I realized the deep deficit that I still have knowing that God is love. And I kind of had a conversation with the Lord, and I said, well, Lord, like, shouldn't I know it already? Shouldn't I know the depth of it? Like, look what you've done in my life, where you've taken me from and brought me here. And I go, I know you love me, but I have such a deficit still of his love. I don't know if you can relate. But we never, I don't know if we ever will fully arrive to the depth of his love for us until we see him face to face. And he says, welcome, good and faithful. Because that's what we're all going to receive. Welcome, good and faithful. And so I sat there in the car and I just repeated, God is love. That's it. God is love. The truth of God is your love. God, I just was like over, God is love, God is love. And said it over and over, and my heart began to soften. And soon I was like a weeping mess. And yeah, that's all good. And then the Lord just revealed to me that sometimes I think God still is uninterested. And that I'm just waiting for him to punish me because I haven't done it good enough. And so that was my but. Love. But Lord, I really think you're uninterested in me and you're just going to punish me because I'm never going to measure up to the standard of all everyone's expectation. So that's my confession to you. And the Lord ministered to me in that place of revealing my butt because he wants his fullness to live in me. Because this fullness is going to cause me, as he fills me with his love, it's going to fill in me the fullness of it, the supernatural work, so that I can love others well. I can love him well. I can love Paula well. And those he brings in my life, all of you. That's the supernatural work of the Lord of love in you. So I know those were lies, but they were my fears. And his perfect love says he can cast that out. He says that he will fill me to the full measure, to the fullness of Christ, which is to know God's love deeper and deeper as I journey forward. 1 John 4:16 to 19 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Period. Even in the place of confession and revealing, he's always wanting to reveal more and more to us in our deficit, so that as he transforms us by his love within us, we are then empowered to live out that love toward God and others. That is supernatural love, and it's a really big deal. I really want to say it's a really big, hairy deal, so I just said it. It's a really big, hairy deal, love. And the way he wants to live in us, transform us, so the world can see his love. So can we stand together? So I don't want a great ministry. Now, I want you to take this away this morning. I know it's a pretty simple message. But I want you to take away, are there buts in your life? What are the buts that you may feel in your heart, in your mind? Not to weigh you down with going, oh, I'm so terrible. No. I don't want this to be a heavy yoke of going, oh man, the Lord just needs to do some serious ministry. Maybe he does. But I want the supernatural for you, the supernatural outpouring of love to move in your hearts today as you're with family and friends. But keep in mind that the Lord wants to reveal more and more to transform you over and over again. So let's pray together. And if you want to, like, grab your neighbor's hand, or some people are like, Kenny, you put us in the middle, now you want to hold hands, or put her on your shoulder, whatever. Like, if you feel like, do that. I'm a touchy-feely guy. Yeah. Jesus, I thank you that we're in the kingdom together. I thank you that we're in a family together. That in your house there's many rooms and there's many places that we're welcome. And we're welcome in your house because you've knit us together. All through your son, Jesus, the greatest gift. Lord Jesus, I know that there's buts in many of our lives. And love can be, it's so simple yet complex and sometimes easy to grasp and sometimes not. And I think, Jesus, that most times our wrestle is with love. And the questions of how do I love better? Or how do I love? I ask God that you would reveal to us the supernatural working of love in each of our hearts. That through your Holy Spirit you would reveal more of Jesus to us. Jesus that says to lay down our life for another. To not think so highly of ourselves. And in that place, Jesus, you reveal the Father, God who is love. And I thank you, God, that the fullness of love dwells with you. And you promise that it will dwell in us and that you will fill it. That you will fill us with love. So would you do that today? Fill us, Father, with your love. Take us to the depths and the heights and the widths and the length of your love. And so I ask, Jesus, that we would be in awe of your love today and the days ahead. Amen. Now to him, let's just benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He can do immeasurably more with our deficits. He can do immeasurably more with our buts. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in love.